With less than a month to go until the new Congress comes in, we've been speaking with some of the new members. Democrats will take over the House of Representatives, but there are new Republican members as well, including Congressman-elect Michael Waltz, who will represent Florida's 6th District. That includes Daytona Beach on the east coast of Florida. He was an advisor to Vice President Dick Cheney in the George W. Bush administration. Congressman-elect, welcome to Here and Now.
Hey, thank you so much.
So what is the first thing that you want to do when you start your new job in Washington?
Well, the first thing I've been doing is reaching out to all of my supporters, all of my volunteers, and thanking them. And then, you know, secondly is really listening. And so I'm talking to a lot of members on both sides of the aisle, both Democrats and Republicans, and a lot of people throughout the district. It's not my first lap around the block in Washington, you know, having served in the Bush administration. On the other hand, I realize that I am new, and I have a lot to learn.
So Washington is currently in the process of mourning the loss of President George H.W. Bush, and a lot of people thinking back to a time when he was in office of a lot more civility in our politics, and looking at the situation today and seeing something that's very different. How much do you think that President Trump is responsible for when it comes to that lack of civility now?
Well, I think the lack of civility is all around, frankly, both. And it is something that I'm determined to lead by example and try to fix, right? So I absolutely agree with you that George H.W. Bush was a true servant leader. That was the motto of my campaign, was servant leadership, to serve with strength, but realize you are serving and to serve with humility. And I think he exemplified it. But more directly to your point, you know, I was backed by an organization called With Honor. With Honor is bipartisan and supports Democrats and Republican post 9/11 combat veterans. And you know, with the really with the thinking and in the premise that having that commonality of service will truly make a difference. I can tell you, in the foxhole, in the plane, on the ship, nobody cares about race, religion, socioeconomic background, political party. It's about mission. It's about country. It's about getting results. If you don't get results in combat or, frankly, or even in business, you know, bad things happen. So I think that ethos needs to change, and I think you will see a change with the record number of veterans on both sides of the aisle getting elected.
Do you think that the tone, though, needs to change from President Trump?
Well, I think he said a few times that he could shift his rhetoric. You know, it's a fine line between fighting hard for the ideals that you believe in, and then on the other hand, being a unifier and being a leader. I'll leave that to him to determine where that line is. But I'll tell you, for me, I do look up to somebody like H.W. Bush. And, you know, I think that he's a good reminder of how we can all be servant leaders.
As you have mentioned, you are a veteran of the war in Afghanistan. Do you think that war needs to come to an end? Or do you, when you get to your new job in Congress, do you want to try to bring that war to an end?
Well, I think that's, I mean, not to be blunt, but I kind of reject the premise of the question. All wars need to end. We want the war to end. Of course, but
this one's been going on for longer than any other U.S.
Yeah,
war.
Yeah, sure.
Though, right?
Oh, absolutely. Believe me. And nobody wants, you know, nobody hates war more than the soldiers that have to go put their lives on the line to fight it. But it's how do we win the conflict in line with U.S. interests? So what my fear is when I hear folks say, well, we just need it to end. You know, meanwhile, we have half of the world's recognized terrorist groups sitting over there that I know will aim to attack the United States again and attack Western interests. So we are what I'm more interested in is not how do we win these individual conflicts or quote unquote end them. It's how do we undermine and defeat the ideology of extremism, like we did the ideology of communism, fascism, and you name it throughout history. And that is a broader strategy that we need. Things like girls' education and women's empowerment, for example. You know, in societies, if you think about it, where women thrive in civil society and business and politics, you don't tend to have an overwhelming extremism problem. So what I'm interested in is the broad strategy, the war of ideas in defeating extremism. Meanwhile, we will have to engage in these conflicts. If we just pull out of Afghanistan, like some people are advocating, we're going to see the same thing that happened when President Obama just pulled out of Iraq.
Do you think that we've made any progress in what you're talking about in sort of changing minds and the war of ideas when it comes to the fight against Islamic terrorism?
No, absolutely. We've made progress, but we've also, I wrote an entire book on how we could do things better. I just don't think there is a, I don't think we have a choice but to be engaged. It's just how do we do it better? So there are record numbers of girls going to school and being educated now in that part of the world, in Afghanistan in particular, than compared to pre-9/11. The sectors of the economy are doing far better, like telecommunications, cell phones. But there are also things that we need to do far better, and particularly in engaging Pakistan. But I think the broader point is, for example, the country of South Korea had a higher illiteracy rate in the 1950s than Afghanistan does today. But we engaged, we took a long-term view, and we now have an incredible ally and the 12th largest economy in the world. So I just don't think we have a choice. It's just how do we do it better?
I want to ask you about an issue that's very important in your state, Florida, which is climate change. A report earlier this year found that communities in Florida are the most at risk for problems related to climate change, sea level rise, extreme rainfall, high heat. Do you think that Congress needs to take some serious action on the issue of climate change?
Well, just broadly speaking, I am a big advocate of local solutions. Things are handled differently, for example, whether it's this issue, or others in, say, Daytona Beach than they are in Montana or California or Alaska, for that matter. So, you know, a lot of these issues are very, whether it's water issues or Lake Okeechobee or offshore drilling, or are unique and handled differently in Florida than in other parts of the country. So as a small government conservative, I'm not a big fan of one size fits all coming out of DC. But yes, we do need to tackle these issues. I'm a big proponent of renewables, whether that's wind, solar, nuclear power, those that, you know, that has issues and I think benefits in the economy and jobs. I want the United States to be a leader in that technology. It also has national security implications on us not being dependent on foreign sources of power and also our supply chains for our military worldwide. So I think there's a number of ways to attack it without, you know, really focusing too much on one particular aspect of the issue.
But many advocates of action on climate change would say it's a real problem when the president of the United States and many Republicans in this country say that it's either a hoax or it's not happening. It's not, humans aren't contributing to climate change, things like that.
The sea levels are rising. You know, anyone who grows up near the beach, as I did in Florida, knows that the sea levels are rising. Cities like Miami are facing increasing flooding problems. You know, there's infrastructure task force that people have put in place. We have to tackle the issue. I think the debate should be not whether it's happening, but just how to tackle it. And I'm happy to engage in that debate for sure.
I want to just finally ask you, as you prepare to be a member of Congress, who is the politician that you most look up to, living or dead? Who would you like to be like?
Well, you know, look, I look at two things. I look at the kind of the policies and the politics, and then I also just look at the ethos and the character of service. And as I was saying earlier, I truly do look up to the man that George H.W. Bush was, and just frankly how he comported himself as a father and as a husband. I mean, the amount of love that just exudes from that family, from President George W. Bush, from Barbara Bush, is just incredible. So I certainly look up to how he comported himself and how he served the country. But I am a conservative, and I believe in conservative principles in terms of individual responsibility, individual liberties. And, you know, gosh, I don't have a good answer for you there on just ideologically, because I have a lot of my own positions.
That is Congressman-elect Michael Waltz, who will represent Florida's 6th district in the next Congress. Thanks so much for joining us, and congratulations again.
This is the honor of my life. Aside from leading men in combat and being a father, it's one thing to defend our democracy. It's another thing to live it. And, you know, thank you so much. Hope to join you again.